on this episode of Still Loading, look, plumber's crack. I mean, the plumber's back. Hey guys, we're back. Still Loading is back, and for our first episode, Justin is still out this weekend. He is at Otakon doing whatever he does at Otakon, animating it up and whatnot. So I have my good old buddy Tristan here.
Hello.
Tristan and I are going to be discussing today the Ratchet & Clank series. We are both gigantic Ratchet & Clank fans, wouldn't you say so?
Yes, I would.
When did you first get hooked on the series?
Oh, gosh. Whenever the second one came out, I think, is when I picked up a PS2 specifically to play the Ratchet & Clank series.
I remember that. I also remember freaking... I saw you playing it, and I got really jealous, so I couldn't order anything through my house, so I had you order the game for me, and I brought the money to you.
Yeah, that totally happened.
I used to also get you to buy games for me on Steam before I had a credit card and right. pay you cash yeah. for the... I was a lazy kid.
Blast from the past there, yeah.
Yeah, so we've been playing Ratchet & Clank for a while now, a long while. I remember I got the PS2, and this was back when Blockbuster was still around, because mm-hmm. you asked me to rent Ratchet & Clank 1 because you thought it looked cool from Blockbuster.
Hey, man, those commercials, right? Like,
I don't remember much of the commercials. I just remember you playing. I'm like, oh, I tried it before. It was all right. It ultimately was you that got me re-hooked onto the series. Same thing with kind of like Uncharted. Like, I beat 1 and 2. I'm like, oh, they were fun. And then that's another episode we could do another day.
Yeah. We got to wait for the fourth one to come out. And we'll
yeah.
Like...
Or, like, right before the fourth one, kind of have a retrospective on it. Because it's getting released this year?
Early to mid-2016, I believe.
That's what it's going to be. Yeah. But in any case, we will also be touching on the movie that Ratchet & Clank is coming out, or the Ratchet & Clank movie that's coming out. Supposedly sometime next year, like early 2016.
Yeah, it's April or March, I think.
Something like that. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. But I figured we'd start out with just like the first, like just kind of first talk about the first game, I guess, and then just kind of talk about games after that throughout the series. So the first one kind of set the groundwork for a lot of the humor, a lot of the gameplay style, the mechanics and everything. Nothing was really polished until the second one, which I think we're going to focus a lot on going commando. Well, we're not going to go commando. I hate
well,
these innuendos.
Yeah. You know, originally, Into the Nexus was supposed to be called Into the Nethers.
Oh, that was from that, what is it? Did you see the Did You Know Gaming video for Ratchet & Clank?
I don't believe I have.
We'll have to watch it later.
Yes.
Hopefully we're not taking a lot of facts from there, but that's an interesting video. Like, the All for One Ratchet & Clank game was going to be called Foursome. Or, like, I forget. There's a whole bunch of others. Like,
oh, they would have done so much better if they called it Foursome.
There's a whole bunch of different names that they wanted to go with, but they were afraid that, very strong innuendos would have dissuaded parents from buying it for their kids. Understandably, I guess.
Yeah.
And you have, like...
I guess.
I don't remember all the names, but definitely check out that video. There's lots of cool little tidbits on it. But the first one was awesome because it had, like, all the weapons were really fun. That's when you, like... I forget, like, half of them. The first weapons were the bomb glove.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a lance? No, the Lancer came after. No, it was called the Shooter.
I think it was just called the Blaster.
The Blaster, that was
yeah.
it. That didn't come... So you had the Bomb Glove, and what was the other one? Was it a Flamethrower?
Yeah, I think you got the Pyrocitor at the second planet.
Okay. You're better with the names than I am. I just remember the Bomb Glove. That
yeah,
was about it.
Yeah, you got the Bomb Glove, Pyrocitor... Or Pyrocyter, however you want to say it.
But, it was pretty rough around the edges, because, remember, you couldn't really... Like, the game didn't pause when you were selecting weapons, mm-hmm. so you had to really know what you were doing on the fly.
Yeah, you had to have your quick select menu, like,
memorized.
And, you know, you do, like, a dodge jump, and while you're still midair, kind of switch out.
That was, especially during the final boss,
mm-hmm.
the easiest way to beat that final boss is to save up for the Rhino.
It's not even a challenge. You just kind of, like, click or...
Did I tell you how I got the Rhino on the when I did the remaster one?
Was that the glitch in the hoverboard championship?
You can glitch through the hoverboard, and I just taped down the circle, the fire button on mm-hmm. the taunter. The taunter was another weapon; it would just taunt enemies over. It didn't have ammo because it was just basically something that would like honk horns and stuff like that. So it would break boxes though. So you would stand on the hoverboard, you would glitch your way into the hoverboard map, and just kind of press circle down, and the boxes above would just constantly. Like break and you because they respawn naturally because it's on the hoverboard map, so you would end up getting tons and tons of bolts just by holding the circle button down. I think it took like 2 hours or something. I just held it down and let it go.
Yeah, there's one achievement in there to get like an absurd amount of bolts, and I think I'm pretty sure you can only do the glitch once.
Yeah.
So I was gonna try and wait until I had gotten like some other stuff legit, and then just leave it on for like 2 days to get that last achievement.
Oh, that would have been nuts. That would have taken so long.
I know. It's like how... Especially in that one. Because bolts are, like, real hard to come by.
They're not near... And they're harder to see, so you always miss them. Because in all the future ones, they had they would glow, you know? But the first one, they didn't have... There was no glowing. It was just... It kind of blended in with the background a lot.
Yeah.
I also remember, like... That's where you first meet Captain Quark, who's, like... Hands down, the best... villain slash ally in any game I've ever played. He's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no other ones come to mind right now.
Well, I shouldn't say the best, but he's my personal favorite. I think it's just he's so hilariously stupid and just over the top. Like when we get to the PS3 games, like Tools of Destruction, I love how like he sends you Ratchet on missions, and he always like sends you on these horrible missions where he's like. And I will, you know, bravely pilot you over the shark-infested waters while you jump down. I forget what it was.
Mm-hmm. Of all his, like, crayon drawings of, like, what you're going to do.
This is my master plan. So, agent codenamed Dead Meat. And we'll, we actually have all the games out here in front of us. So if you hear some opening and closing of cases, do not be alarmed.
Was it this one? One of them has a hilarious... It must be this one. The last one I opened, yeah, here. For All for One, you've got the Copernicus Quark's awesomely epic 3D adventure through time and space. With his little... Yeah, his little crayon drawings.
I didn't even notice that. And you can... Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you can actually flip it over.
That's genius. It's got some of, like, the concept art on the back there, too. Right here. That's pretty cool. I had no idea that even existed.
Yeah, nice little out-of-game Easter egg for you.
I like how it even has, like, it's for 3.5 players. They cut off half a person on that instead of four. But anyway, so the first game was really fun. It had some unique, like it was unique for a platformer for the time when it came out, because the only other real 3D platform that was big on the PS2 was Jak and Daxter, which was definitely big in its own right. Like everyone knows Jak and Daxter.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Naughty Dog did that, Insomniac does the Ratchet & Clank games, and their only other games before that were Spyro, which were also pretty good 3D platformers.
Mm-hmm.
But Ratchet & Clank was just so unique because it was a platformer, but it was also a shoot-em-up, but also a shooter at the same time. Not just like... Because I guess there's a fine line difference between a shoot-em-up and a shooter, but like they kind of blended platforming shoot-em-ups and shooters all in one.
Yeah, I think the first one is where that's... the most murky, because you couldn't strafe, which was like a big deal for me, which they fixed in the next couple games.
And which since we might as well just go right into the second game, Going Commando, which, by the way, if we say weird things, it's because all the games have innuendos just about, with the exception of like the later ones. Like, just to run off a couple, the second game's called Ratchet & Clank Going Commando, the third game's called Ratchet & Clank Up Your Arsenal. After that, there's a PSP game called Size Matters. There is Tools of Destruction, which that's a little... You know, you can use your imagination with that. There's a Crack in Time, which I don't know, maybe Plumber's Crack or Plumber's Back, whatever you want to call it. But, so they all have innuendos, for those who don't know. But the second one just refined so much on the first.
Yeah, they really... They took, even, like, the weapons. If you compare the Devastator, which is, like, the rocket launcher from the first game, to...
Wasn't the tube rocket or something? No.
Yeah, something like that. I know it had multiple tubes as you upgraded it.
You know what? I can grab my phone quick and then we can... The beauty of technology.
Mm-hmm.
But we can just look up weapons on here.
But yeah, the whatever the rocket launcher was from, Going Commando, it actually had a second form, where it started off basically like the Devastator, just a single tube rocket launcher. And once you upgraded it, it had four tubes that you could actually charge up and fire all four at once.
Well, this game just, it also came up with the idea of actually upgrading your weapons. Like, the more you use it, you could level up your weapons, No, it was only once.
Yeah, I think it was just...
It was the later games that let you level it up more than once.
Yeah, up your arsenal, which is, I guess, aptly named, considering how many times you can level up your weapon.
I think it's like a total of six.
Something like six
the
or
first
eight.
You can level it up through three times on your first playthrough, and then another three times on your second playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. This is not help. That was not the right thing to look at. But no, Going Commando was an amazing game. It's still considered widely to be the best game in the series. Up Your Arsenal technically has higher review scores, but a lot of people point to Going Commando because it was the first game. Pretty much every game you play after Going Commando, it models it after Going... Every game after Going Commando models it after Going Commando. The whole gameplay style, the leveling up of your weapons, how the spaceship even works, like where you can kind of customize it a little bit. The box breaker first appears in Going Commando. The bolt grabber first appears in Going Commando. Was there a map-o-matic in the first game? I don't think so.
There might have been. Question. I'm not sure.
But they also kind of came up with ideas of, like, funny names for new weapons and whatnot. So you have, like, you know, it starts out with the Blitz Cannon, which was, that was like the shotgun. That was a cool one.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one. They have the Sheepinator, so you can turn everyone into sheep. And when you upgrade it, you get the Black Sheepinator, so they explode afterwards.
As much as I enjoyed the Morpho Ray from the original, specifically because of the commercials, which I distinctly remember,
mm-hmm.
where they had the two live action guys playing with it, and he turns the other guy into a chicken or something.
Yeah,
I really did like the Sheepinator.
I like all the. I mean, they definitely modified it later on because what is it in Full Frontal Assault? I think you get the Christmasizer or whatever, the Winterizer, where everything into snowmen. And then you hear jingle bells in the background, and all the guys where their weapons are is just candy canes instead. So, like, the little crabs are just, like, little tiny people with giant candy canes in their tiny hands that look like claws.
Yeah, that was Into the Nexus.
Into the Nexus had that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But anyway, Going Commando. The storyline was really unique because it took place in a different... Not really unique, but it was a lot better than the first one.
Mm.
It took place in a different galaxy. There was an actual somewhat of a plot where, like, you know, there's a plot twist in it as opposed to just a straightforward thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I guess the first one kind of did because Quark starts out on your side, quote-unquote, but you can tell he's an ass right from the get-go.
Yeah.
So it's not... Like, it doesn't surprise you at all. I remember playing through Going Commando and finding out, spoilers for those who haven't played it, that the guy who hires you to, like, save his galaxy turns out to be Captain Quark in disguise, who just was just trying to use you to basically take over that galaxy.
Yeah, I forget how
it was all... the Protopet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a scientist who you thought was the bad guy stole the Protopet, and Quark hires you to get the Protopet back. And then uses you to destroy the galaxy, which you end up... And, like, he can't control the Protopet because that turns into the giant one, which he... You don't even fight Quark as the final boss. You have to defeat the giant Protopet.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, if you have the Rhino 2, just take about 15 seconds.
It's really short. I remember I was trying to play it through one time. I was getting really frustrated. I'm like, screw this. I'm going to get the Rhino. I just saved up for the Rhino. It didn't take as long as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But in that game also, you have... Because it was like a million bolts for the Rhino, which takes a long amount of time, but they also, it was the first time they had arenas. Remember?
Right. Yep.
You had all the different arena challenges, and you had, like, the impossible challenge.
Yep. All the gladiator deals. Those are all.
There was two gladiator arenas in that one. So this was the first time they had arena fights in that, which is where, which I still haven't beaten Deadlocked. That's all Deadlocked was.
You know, Deadlocked is a great game. Yeah. It actually has co-op, so we could try to play that sometime.
We should definitely do that, because I still have to play. That's one of the few games I have not beaten in the series, now that I think about it. The only ones I have yet to beat are Going Mobile, which is the phone game from, like, 2004, which I can't find. I mean, I can find it online, but I don't, like, it's not, you can't play it online. You can, the download sites I have found, I don't even know if I'm actually downloading the game, because I can't get it to work on anything. So for all I know, that could be a virus. But
yeah, it's more sketchy than it's worth.
Yeah, it's, so if anyone out there is listening and can tell me how to play that game, I'd really just want to see. I've seen screenshots of what it looks like. It looks like a side-scrolling shoot 'em up or a shooter. So it looks awesome, but I just, it's hard to find. Anyway, so any other final thoughts on Going Commando before we move on to Up Your Arsenal?
Well, I'm looking at the weapon list here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, they have a lot of them that are the same, where you've got, you have a bomb glove, called the exact same thing. You do get a gravity bomb.
Oh, that's the upgraded bomb glove, right?
It's actually a completely separate
weapon. Oh, no, because you could get all the old weapons from the first game if you had a save file.
Yes,
or you
you're
could
right.
pay out the ass for it if you didn't have an original save file.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got your mini rocket tube, lava gun, lancer instead of the blaster. Lava gun was cool.
That was really fun. Because even after you would fire, there was still residue that would come out, so you could always hit a couple extra guys instead of wasting your ammo.
In Going Commando, it upgraded to the meteor gun.
Which was not nearly as good.
Right. But in later games, it gets turned into the liquid nitrogen gun.
Which was pretty awesome.
Which was quite awesome.
Also, the puzzle solving was, I always like in this series, like, because they always give you plenty of gadgets. The grind boots isn't really much of a puzzle, but it's a really fun platforming section.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoy doing grind boot sections.
Man, I can remember in the first one, where you first have to get the grind boots on, whatever it was, like, Planet Battalia or something.
I'm amazed you remember any of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, named because of the battle that was going on.
Yeah.
I remember it being so hard when we were, like, what, early teenagers playing these?
I don't even know. We were, like, 12 or 13.
Yeah. Going back and playing them in the HD collection, like, 2 years ago, I have no idea why that was so hard.
Well, you didn't have as good... Your motor skills are better now.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of cool weapons in Going Commando. Just the game in general just was awesome. They also didn't have hover bike races too. Yeah, it did.
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. Had hover bike races. I mean, the first game had the hoverboard races, which I still hate those. I don't like hover. I don't like the races that much. They're really frustrating in general.
Yeah, yeah. In the first one, in particular, it was rough. It gets a lot more fun in the second and third.
Well, when you have I just recently beat Size Matters for the first time on the PSP, and the races in that game are really difficult.
Okay.
I did not enjoy those at all either.
Mm.
But I do like... And, oh, well, to go further into it also with Going Commando, that's... Like, the first game kind of set its tone a little bit, but the second one's really where they locked in their humor.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Because the second and third one, Upper Arsenal, these two just, they locked in their humor to a science, practically. You know Ratchet and Clank humor from those two games.
Man, I can still remember most of the lyrics to the
Britney Gears
music video.
Not a bad song.
It's really not. Like,
for those who don't know, in the third game, they you find out Clank, like Ratchet and Clank, basically become so famous that Clank, like within the galaxy for saving it, whatnot, that Clank gets his own TV show called Secret Agent Clank, which. There's a game based off, which I have not beaten yet. I own it, but have not had a chance to beat it yet. And he's become so famous, there's a thing called Secret Agent Clank. Well, one of the biggest pop stars in the galaxy, Courtney Gears, she's a robot who apparently falls in love with Clank. But she had, like, she hates humans, and her whole pop song's all about killing humans. Mm-hmm. But it's so happy sounding.
Yeah, I think she was working with Dr. Nefarious to turn all of the, air quotes, squishies, or any kind of organic matter into robots.
And I love how Dr. Nefarious, whenever he, like, short circuits a lot, you hear that bizarre soap opera on the radio. I forget what some of the, there were some really good quotes. Maybe if I can find them, I'll put them in, but I, like, put them in intermittently in between, like, transitions here,
I was from that family of gypsy ninjas. Gypsy ninja robots? Something like that.
I know. My parents were murdered by that family of gypsy ninja robots or something. It was amazing. But, it was, like, Going Commando had its first little bits of humor. Like, I still remember in the first race, you find out, like, the first race is a bunch of biker dudes, and they're talking about how they like to dress up nice and have tea parties and things like that. So, as it still sticks with me. But I can't, is there anything else you wanted to go on with Going Commando? I mean, we keep going back to it. It's such a good game, but I was just thinking, I love, even though I hated it as a kid, the desert and the ice planet with the Yetis.
Mm-hmm.
The desert with just the crabs, or was it just a bunch of...
They had some kind of weird floating... Lobster monsters? Lobster things, yeah.
And then they had the giant, like, sand... No, they were, like, floating eyeballs.
Right, yeah, the eye laser guys, right.
And the, in the ice planet, it was the giant dragons under the ice. You remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, they're like
and
hydras.
Then the big Yetis. Those Yetis are still hard to kill.
Mm-hmm.
They are outrageously difficult to kill. I hated those things.
Especially when you accidentally, like, aggro 8 of them, and you're just like, oh my god!
And they chase you forever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get out of their range, because their legs are so long, or so, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It's ridiculous. That was really cool. They did that in other games, too, because, like, in Up Your Arsenal, you had the whole sewer crystal thing.
Yeah, the sewer crystal thing was okay. I liked how they kind of expanded on it, depending on what gadgets you had. Like, once you got your mag boots, you could go up to, like, different levels. And
yeah.
But overall, I think I liked the desert and the ice planet more. Oh, I did too. Yeah.
I mean, I don't like the Yetis that much, but mm-hmm. they were interesting, at least. But, all right, so I guess let's move on to Up Your Arsenal. Okay. So, Up Your Arsenal was the third installment in the series, and it was a damn good one. That was, remember the Ranger missions?
I do.
That the first thing I remember about that game is, like, you, Ratchet is tasked with, like, saving the universe, you know, again. I forget exactly, Dr. Nefarious, who's, like, that's his first game he's introduced, and he's a mm-hmm. major reoccurring villain in the series. I feel like this is, like, a James Bond series, you know?
Yeah.
Major reoccurring villains, bizarre gadgets, corny senses of humor. This is basically the James Bond of old school James Bond of video games,
mm-hmm.
but and in a good way.
That's not even talking about Secret Agent Clank, which is a blatant ripoff of James Bond.
I just remember, like, Dr. Nefarious is up to no good. The only person who's ever stopped Nefarious was Captain Quark, but no one's seen Captain Quark since you beat him in the second game. And you find him on a planet, and he thinks he's a monkey.
It's one of nature's mysteries.
That's where some of the funny docudrama stuff they made would come in. Oh, God, this game is so good. But no, so you have to... You go to a planet to, like... I forget why you go to the planet, but basically you paradrop in with a bunch of other soldiers, and they had a bunch of missions where, like... It was like a side quest thing that you could do after you beat the main part of it, but, like, they had a bunch of extra missions where it was just you running around on a battlefield, almost kind of like Battlefield 1942 style, but, like, mm-hmm. not necessarily with certain numbers of, like, enemies on each side. You had to complete objectives, but it was, like, open. It was open world for that little bit.
Yeah, it was a little. I remember when I first played it, I thought it was the best thing ever.
It's kind of annoying now.
Yeah, looking back on it, I feel like the series got a little convoluted in the third installment, where it didn't really know if it wanted to be like Going Commando, which it still was, but with these little extra things, it felt like it was trying to be a Battlefield game.
Yeah.
That being said, it was still really fun going around with little hover tanks and...
blowing stuff up and shooting enemies. Yeah. Those missions were tough, though.
A lot of them were, yeah.
I... I remember I had to force myself when I was replaying the HD collection to do it, and it was still just not fun as much, not as much fun as I remember it being. Mm-hmm. What else? I mean, you had the. I think I actually really liked the storyline of Up Your Arsenal a lot, just because it was just fun. Dr. Nefarious is a great villain.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nefarious.
He's such a goofy villain. He's probably the most memorable villain. Like, Quark shows up, but he doesn't really become a... He's never really a villain again after the second game. He's always just kind of, like, the bumbling idiot.
Yeah, because, the first one, he's in league with the villain. Mm-hmm. And the second one, he is the villain. And from then on, he's just kind of, like, the goofy guy who wants to be the hero, but is kind of a wuss, and nobody knows what his deal is, but...
I mean, he kind of was the villain if you think about it in Full Frontal Assault, because, I mean, okay, he wasn't really the villain, but he was, like, you find out the villain, or spoilers for those who haven't played it, it's a Captain Quark fan, an old Captain Quark fan who hates him, so he created the enemy, so he kind of was the bad guy, but you don't actually fight him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's stretching
it. Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch.
That's a lot of a stretch. That's like yoga right there.
Mm.
That's a, it's very a stretchy, big stretch. Yes. But, no, so Up Your Arsenal was just cool because that's when they added, like, all the bonus, like, you could upgrade your weapon 3 times, and then the New Game Plus, there was even more. Couldn't you upgrade? There was a lot more armor upgrades in this one.
So, for the weapons, again, looking at it online here, each one could be upgraded 5 times in the initial game. And then after that, you could pay to upgrade it to a mega weapon, and then it would upgrade as you used it to giga and then omega weapons. So it was like, about 8 times. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Mm-hmm. And that's coming from the original 2, and then I think 4 in New Game Plus for Going Commando.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge step. That's as opposed to only 4, you're getting 8. They doubled it, basically. It really wasn't up your arsenal type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't really touched on any of these yet, but, like, I loved all the gadgets that you would have. I remember I tried bringing it up earlier, but the gadgets, not just the grind boots, but the ones, you know, like, what was the Infiltrator was one? I forget which game that was from.
There is the Trespasser.
The Trespasser?
The first game.
Okay.
And that had to do with... God, I forget how that one worked.
But
it was, like, lasers that you had.
But each of those
up.
Gadgets was, like, a little puzzle mini game, mm-hmm. which was really fun. And then you would have the gadgets that kind of affect the environment, like... The one was the it's in the second or third game.
The Therminator.
The Therminator, where you could, like, thaw and freeze water.
The tractor beam.
That was another one. That was from the second one as well.
Yeah, the dynamo, if you will.
That was, like, your all-purpose, like, everything.
Yeah, I think they eventually mushed that one into the swing shot.
Yeah, and well, they basically streamlined the swing shot through the dynamo in Going Commando,
mm-hmm.
and then the swing shot just came back. And I remember when you first get that in the first game, the swing shot was awesome. I just love the platforming in Ratchet and Clank. Like, it's a fun shoot 'em up, but it's also fun just to, like, use the swing shot and just swing from one thing to the other.
Yeah, I feel like the first Ratchet and Clank game is kind of reminiscent, not necessarily reminiscent, but. Kind of works the same way as the original Jak and Daxter, where it's kind of like a more innocent time when things are more about jumping and kind of having fun, and you know, the series tends to get a little bit more serious after that with as far as like the shooting goes.
Well, like Jak and Daxter went way serious.
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank still kind of kept a silly, happy go lucky kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
One second. Sorry, keep going.
But we got other stuff like let's see. The Levitator. The glider's always good.
What? Which one is the Levitator from?
That's from the second one.
Really?
You purchased from a shady salesman.
Slim Cognito?
Oh, okay. So that's like a jetpack.
Okay. I remember that. Which... Oh, yeah. You also get, like... So we're jumping all over the place. It's hard to keep track. There's a lot of weapons in these games.
Yeah.
Right now, we are still kind of on Up Your Arsenal, but we're going to kind of... jump around a lot, but then they had the glider from the second one, you remember? Mm-hmm. that wasn't the first time you get the glider. Was one of the most difficult things to navigate, that canyon. We remember how long we tried.
Oh,
when
yeah,
we were a kid?
Yeah, the canyon.
I mean, it's still difficult even as an adult. It gets even more difficult later on in the game when you go to, I forget what planet it is, but basically you fight your way through the whole level, and then you have to glide your way back.
Mm-hmm. And that was like a machine factory where they had like all sorts of gears and stuff you had to fly through. And yeah, it was intense.
Excuse me. But I don't have too much more to say about Up Your Arsenal because I don't remember it too much. It's not, the last game I played was Size Matters.
Mm-hmm. One more gadget that I think is worth mentioning from Up Your Arsenal was the refractor.
Yeah, it was like the little shield ball, and you could like aim, like if light hit it like the laser, you could deflect it and kill enemies with it.
You could re-aim the laser, kill enemies with it, and then that was a big part of the puzzles, was re-aiming that laser into
it. It was also a skill point to kill a certain number of enemies.
Yes,
skill points, that's something we haven't mentioned at all yet. Every game had them.
Yeah, it was kind of the old school achievements or trophies.
Yeah,
before, I don't know, I still thought they mattered, but you didn't get that score to kind of brag about it.
Well, no, they, like, well, that's because we didn't know about, like, if you want to think of, like, a gamer score or anything like that back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, yeah, now we have it and we're used to it, but back then you didn't have that. So, like, I remember when I would come over to your house and we would play Ratchet & Clank, I would look at all how many skill points you have. I'm like, man, I'm jealous because I don't have that many. I'd go home and try to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we would like trade off and be like, oh, I just found this one. And you would tell me about the one you found. And we'd try to get it and whatnot.
Yeah. And this was in like the, yeah, it's still kind of early ages of the internet.
I mean, we could have looked it up, but I don't think we didn't. Neither of us had computers at the time that really had access to the internet. You had that old tower, which remember had exactly a 1 gigabyte hard drive.
I think it was two.
Two.
2 gigabytes. And we
played Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds on
mm-hmm.
it. That was a great game.
It was, yes. It's fantastic. But yeah, that was before I had any sort of internet connection.
Yep, that's what it was. So we didn't have any internet back then.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. It's so long ago. Oh, God. No, it's old.
It's so weird looking back at games and, this is way off topic.
That's fine. We can.
I was just watching a video that mentioned the Dreamcast and how it like never really took off as much as it should have.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, you know, when that came out, I was still playing my PlayStation. I didn't have the internet. I had no idea the Dreamcast even existed until it was already gone.
Only reason I knew it existed was because, do you remember that kid Chris Lynch?
Mm-hmm.
I probably shouldn't have said, maybe I'll edit it out.
That kid, meh,
meh. Yeah. He had, I remember when I used to go over to his house, and he had Nintendo 64, Sega Dreamcast, and PlayStation, and I was like, you are the king of video games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I remember the only game I played on the Dreamcast was Crazy Taxi for a while, but I mean, now I have a Dreamcast for my, you know, with my and my collecting and whatnot. But so how did we get off on topic? We were talking about that we're old now,
right? About looking up skill points. Oh,
yeah. Well, we're in, like, I mean, okay, we're not actually old. Like, we're 25, 26, right around there. So we're really not old, but like, we grew up in the time when it, like, we had that bizarre transition where, like, when we were kids, we didn't have the internet at all. And when we were adults, like, now we have it. Like, we grew up in the transition from no internet to internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically, it existed in the early 90s, but, like, that, you had to actually know how to program and you, like, really know how to work a computer as opposed to just by clicking Internet Explorer or by plugging in a USB, like, wireless card.
Booting up the old AOL startup disks.
And then hearing the dial-up tone.
Yeah.
I remember I tried, back when we still played RuneScape, horrible game. I shouldn't say it's horrible. Maybe there's still people that play it, so maybe there's something to it. It's just not for me.
You know, to its credit, I think it's either RuneScape 3 or 4 that they're up to now. Is apparently really good. But I still think the RuneScape that we played, I would just like that summer of my life back.
I don't know. We had a good fun time.
Yeah.
But like, it's okay. I remember I would try to play it at home on dial-up and it just Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Did not. And when, the first time we got DSL, like the $15 a month DSL, I had to talk my parents into it. I'm like, we gotta get fast internet so I can play RuneScape. Mm-hmm. RuneScape! You get it for me! Getting indignant with them. Okay, so back on topic. Any other things for up your arsenal?
Let's see. We talked about the cool new gadgets. We talked about the new weapon upgrade systems, the Ranger kind of battlefield-ish
things. Ranger battlefield, yeah. You also met Kronk and Zephyr for the first time on this, didn't you? Or something similar to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just kind of your generic, like, army buddies.
Yeah.
That was before they actually had
that. That was basically the I'm just blanking on the word I was going to use. Like, the model for Kronk and Zephyr, like, those
yeah.
It was like a character model. Not
totally.
The physical character model of, like, what they used in-game, but, like, the type of characters they are.
There is one thing I'd like to address.
Mm-hmm.
In Going Commando, spoilers, the scientist that you track down that has taken the weird pet thing.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
was it
yeah.
called?
Protopet, yeah.
Protopet. Turned out to be a female Lombax, which is, you hadn't heard of any other Lombax, which is what Ratchet is. So you figure romantic possibilities there. After that game, you never hear of her again.
Was she an actual Lombax, though?
Do
they tell you? I could have sworn they said she looked like one, but she wasn't one.
Okay.
Well, I don't remember, though.
Anyway, they go into Up Your Arsenal, and he gets a new romantic interest. Who's
which is
like
the princess, or not really princess,
yeah,
but like the daughter of the general or whatever.
Right, like Admiral something's daughter. She's like
yeah.
the captain of your ship.
Yeah.
And she, I think she pops up in some other games, but it's, I don't know. It's never really a thing. It just seemed weird to me that they kind of put her in there, but then it's like,
yeah.
nothing ever comes of it.
Well, maybe because, like, Clank got his Courtney Gears love interest, sort of. She turns out to be a bad guy. Spoilers! Too late, but... but
fix it in post.
It's fine. It's, but yeah, I mean, it was a really good game. It just, that was the last of the, oh no, there was one more PS2 game, and which you'll actually have to do most of the talking for Deadlocked, because I have not played it.
Alright, so basically Deadlocked. It's not a Ratchet and Clank game, per se. It's
just
called
Ratchet
Deadlocked. So the deal with this is, there is a, I forget the channel. It's some like, big corporate guy who owns this arena fighting channel, and he captures heroes from various galaxies and pits them against each other. So his newest acquisition is Ratchet and Clank. So Ratchet is given two kind of like fighter hover bots that go into the arena with him. And Clank is actually like his manager. And kind of.
I think I remember that, yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's a really good game. It's mostly based in these arena fighting kind of areas. So people who really love the platforming of the first three games might be a little disappointed.
If you really think about it, though, it kind of points to how they're like their model for the rest of the series too, because like they'll have three games in like the normal Ratchet and Clank style, and then they'll deviate. So like even in the PS3 era, I mean, it's kind of like more like 2.5 instead of 3. They had Tools of Destruction and Crack in Time, but there was a in between one called Quest for Booty.
Yeah,
Booty. So that was like, you know, that was like a short half an hour, 45 minute, or maybe it was like a 2 hour game.
Yeah, it was
sorry.
Like 2-3 hour game.
Two to three hour game. So it was like I said, 2.5. So they had 2.5 hour, like 2.5 normal games. And then they went to do All for One and then, Full Frontal Assault. But then they came back to the normal, like traditional, formula and did Into the Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if we'll have time to talk about all. We might have to turn this into a two-parter.
Okay. But yeah, so Deadlocked, it took a little more serious turn because they kind of deal with the death of some of the other heroes.
Okay. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I forget the...
Not China. I want to go home and play it now.
Yeah, I forget the other, like, headliner for this channel. It was kind of like a Buzz Lightyear looking kind of guy. Like, I don't know, Blitz Fast Star or something ridiculous like that. But yeah.
A little off topic. Okay, so I was playing Persona 3 a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I never beat it, but I named my character, like, what's your name? And I wanted to name it something as, like, stupid as possible. So I named my character, your whatever, Blitz Lightstar, whatever you called it, remind me of the name. I named him Boom Gunstick.
Nice.
So everyone's like, hey, Boom, what's up, Boom? Like, I'm this stupid motherfucker. Like, why would you, like, what kind of parent would name their child Boom with their last name being Gunstick?
Mm.
Anyway,
so
go.
Okay, so his actual name is Ace Hardlight.
Okay.
But yeah, there were a few videos that you would watch, like, as commercial kind of spoiler thingies, of him actually killing some of the other heroes. And you can see on the, like, the ranking system, when you start, there's a whole bunch of them, and then Ace at the top. And then by the end, you've got the, like, big kind of tough guys that you kill, and then all the ones that Ace had killed. And it's just, you and him are the only ones on that scoreboard anymore. Everybody else is, like, deceased.
Really?
Yeah, so
and this is towards the end of the game, I take it?
Yeah, I mean, it slowly happens if you check the scoreboards. But, yeah, it's a lot heavier tone, but it's still really good, still has some of that
But see, humor. That's what I think is so good about the series, is that they can take such a comical tone, but they can also go really serious, and you would totally believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, I really want to go home and play that now. That might be my next game to, like, sit down. I have it, a free digital HD copy, and I have it on the PS2 still, but why do that when you get the free HD?
Yeah. Especially when you could play Network with me.
That's true.
Mm.
That's true. That'll have to happen then. Maybe that can go up as a live stream sometime, too.
Okay.
That'd be fun. Alright, so, anything else you wanted to talk about with Deadlocked, or did you...
I think that about covers it.
Alright. All right, let's move on to the next one. The next one, instead of jumping to the PS3, they're going to be the one that I'm talking about, is mm-hmm. Size Matters for the PSP.
Right, so I did not have a PSP, so I have literally no experience with either of these games.
Well, I've not played... Okay, I've played about the first level of Secret Agent Clank. I'll talk about Secret Agent Clank quick, just because I can be quick with it. I don't know much else mm-hmm. about it. But it's really interesting the way it works. All he really has is, like... like, you can punch and stuff like that, but, like, the whole game, it's a stealth game, basically. You have to sneak around defenses and things like that. I mean, I only played the first level. You're sneaking into a museum to find... Because, basically, the storyline goes, which, so far, in that game, is that Ratchet steals some precious artifact from a museum, and Clank's like, what's going on? And you see in Ratchet's head that he's got some weird machine, so it's obviously he's being mind-controlled by someone, you don't know who. And so he goes into the museum where Ratchet just got caught stealing something to try to find evidence to lead back to whatever. So that's it's within the first 10-15 minutes of the game. So I've barely touched it. It was interesting. Like, you can, there's just a lot of interesting things you can do with it so far. It seems like just the stealth aspect. So if I can play more of it before, if we actually turn this into a two-parter, if I can play more of it before the second part, then I'll go with them. But as of right now, I don't know much about it.
A little bit of, like, Metal Gear Clank going on there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, literally, metal.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a bad joke. I'm going to file that.
And, well, hey, the C in his name is a gear, right? So
I'll take it.
Okay.
So, Ratchet & Clank Size Matters is a PSP exclusive. Well, it was exclusive. It got ported to the PS2. It's a pretty fun game. It really holds up as a Ratchet & Clank game on its own. Basically, the premise of it is that you... Ratchet, like, gets asked to, like, do something by this little girl who asked him to save him. Turns out, spoilers, it's not much of a plot, so even for you, Tristan, who hasn't not really played it, you find out that the little girl is actually a little robot controlled by these things called Technomites, which they, you know, they're tired of basically building all the technology in the world and not getting credit, so they fight back. So the end of the game literally is you fighting the Technomite leader, but you're like a little tiny version, because he has a shrink ray, so he shrinks himself to fight the Technomites.
Okay, cool.
So there's not really anything cool with, like, you know, like, oh, look, it's small Ratchet, and here's tiny Ratchet with gigantic boxes and stuff like that. So I was kind of bummed out that it was like that, but it was still really fun. Your weapons do upgrade. There was, there's a trippy dream sequence in it, which I actually hated because it was impossible to see anything, but it had some cool ideas. A really solid, like, game. It wasn't developed by Insomniac. It was developed by High Impact Games, I think.
Yep, you're right.
But they did a really, it's obviously in association with Insomniac, but interesting thing I found out, you know how, like, they always have in those other games, like, break a snowman, and it's, like, that skill point, you find a snowman, and in Into the Nexus, they have this big statue you can find in, like, the Museum of Dan Johnson. Did you find that in Into the Nexus?
Oh, I don't know. I'm gonna have to run through it again.
It literally does nothing for you in the game. It's just an Easter egg. But Dan Johnson was a programmer at Insomniac, which I was unaware of until a couple weeks ago, which I feel bad I should have known, considering I'm a Ratchet and Clank fan. Mm. But this game is in Size Matters is in dedication to him, because he died during the development of it, right before it. Same with Deadlocked, I believe? I think so. But Size Matters, I mean, there's not much to it. It was about an 8-hour game, so it was kind of short. Oh, not really short, but, like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, not bad for a handheld.
That's a
game.
Very good for a handheld. I mean, Uncharted games are 8 hours long. Mm-hmm. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I will say, though, it is tough as hell. It is stupid hard. The final boss, I barely beat. He killed me at the same... I killed him a second, like a split second before he killed me. So I was able to complete the game, but it doesn't have a cutscene. Maybe I have to... I mean, is there one? I don't know. I have to check YouTube still. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, not too much else to talk about Size Matters, but it was a damn good game. Damn good game. So if you have a PSP, definitely give it a play. Let's move on to the PS3.
All right.
Which is the final frontier. We might actually fit this all in here. Let me see what our running time is.
So a possible part two.
I think
we can do it all now.
We could. It's going to be close because we're already running at about 40 minutes or so, 45. I don't know. We'll find out after I edit everything out.
Yeah, we can blaze through these.
We could talk this for another 45 minutes. We could definitely get. So let's start out with Tools of Destruction. Now, I will say, out of all of these are the ones I have played. I mean, I've beaten them all, but I played them the longest ago. That's really bad English, but... Tools of Destruction was awesome. I always love the one, if you look on the back of it, the New York Times, I love this review. The first game to truly deliver the long-sought, you are playing, in quotes, you are playing a Pixar movie experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree with that. It had, what was it, Emperor Tachyon, right? Percival Tachyon. Mm-hmm. They always make fun of him because his name's Percival. And he's part of, oh gosh, what's the villain? What is, like, he's... I forget what it is. What's his race's name? Can you see it on your laptop?
A Cragmite.
That's it. And he, Cragmite, according to this game's lore, or to this universe's lore, was they had a war against the Lombaxes, which is, you know, Ratchet's race. And so he was a Tachyon, you find out. Spoilers! All spoilers.
You've had several years to play these games, so, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry for the spoilers, but come on.
Go fuck yourself. I mean, I love you, audience. Tachyon got raised by Lombaxes, but then once he found out what the Cragmites, what was that? Mm-hmm. Is that right? The Cragmites, about the war between the Cragmites and the and the Lombaxes, he basically went rogue and just, you know, reignited the war and try to hunt down the last of the Lombaxes.
Yeah, I think there was something about the Lombaxes and the Cragmites being trapped in different dimensions, and I think that was Percival Tachyon's end goal, was to get this, like, Rift Ripper kind of thing to bring all the Cragmites out of there.
Okay.
Yeah, he had, like, a weird helmet with, like, a giant
He looked orb ridiculous on the top. Yeah, in general.
Absolutely ridiculous.
And all the Kragmites were like really squishy. It was like squishies with robotic bodies. Dr. Nefarious would have loved it.
Yeah, they were like fish kind of, right? Yeah. Like in a little fishbowl helmets and on you these could, big like, mechs.
Kill, and after you kill them, they were like flopping around on the ground. If you killed them, they give you bolts.
So. Yeah, yeah.
I love how everything gives you bolts. You can hit a plant and you get a bunch of bolts. I'm like, what? How are you hiding this?
You know, some of the plants are actually made of metal. Yeah, it's interesting. But
I love this series.
Yeah. But yeah, for the Ratchet and Clank Future series, which is...
I guess we could just kind of bundle these all together, because I mean, like, honestly, the Future series had a phenomenal storyline. Mm-hmm. Crack in Time especially.
Yeah. I was a little late to the party on these. So I think Tools of Destruction, I'm pretty sure, came out in 2007?
I forget.
Yeah, 2007. I didn't get my PS3 until about 2009, 2010.
Was it really that long ago?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it wouldn't... Gosh, we've had our PS3s for all... I remember buying my PS3, because this was before I had a credit card. I bought it from Walmart with a check.
Nice.
I wrote a check, and everyone's like, who the hell writes checks anymore?
They're like, I guess we'll take this. We've never had to take a check before.
Well, GameStop doesn't take checks at all anymore.
Ah.
So I originally went to GameStop, which now, you know, after working there, I don't know why I decided to give them business.
Mm.
I hate GameStop.
But anyway, so the Tools of Destruction game, I had actually borrowed from you, and I think you slept over...
You played
and
it the
I just
entire...
played all night.
I woke up to you still playing Tools of Destruction.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did go to sleep even after you left, and I beat the game later that day. And that
one
was the
shot
only,
at it.
That was the only time that I went through it, so I'm a little foggy on it. But I remember it being good.
It was a really good game. I just remember the cutscenes were really cool from what I remember. I also remember that's where, like, Captain Quark starts to really, like, he comes back to help you. I guess he doesn't really start helping you out. He did that in the third one as well. But I do remember, like, that's where my favorite cutscenes is, where he, like, he gives you his, crown-drawn plan. That's a tongue twister there. Of, like, how you're going to infiltrate some secret base, and he codenames you Dead Meat, and you have to swim through, like, laser sharks and stuff that. I don't remember the exact thing. You can YouTube a bunch of these, and they're amazing. They're all amazing. But the whole Ratchet & Clank Future series was... It was Tools of Destruction, then Quest for Booty, which was, like, the DLC side game, and then Crack and Dime. And then they rounded off the full thing with Into the Nexus, apparently. I think it's called...
No, just Ratchet & Clank.
It's Ratchet & Clank. Well, from what I was reading I forget where, but it's supposed to finish off the Future series. Like, it rounds it off before, you know, the PS4, they're basically rebooting the whole franchise. Yeah, they're rebooting the whole franchise.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I've never really seen a game get reboot after, you know, the last game was... Like, all the games are pretty much popular. Like, they always sell. I don't think they've lost money on a Ratchet & Clank game yet.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Spider-Man movies, where they just finished off a trilogy, and they're like, let's start a new Spider-Man series.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Well, hopefully, I mean, I didn't like the most recent Spider-Man movies. Okay. I tried to.
Yeah, I lost interest after two, so. But anyway, yeah, so...
I was going to say, unlike those, I'm looking forward to the next installment.
Yes, absolutely. So Tools of Destruction was very good. It really... stayed close to the basis of the original trilogy and Deadlocked, and how that all a lot of the mechanics are totally the same kind of gadgets. A couple new weapons that were really cool, but overall, the same deal.
Yeah.
Now, Quest for Booty, which...
Booty!
Yeah. It's an okay game, but I want to give it credit for some of the innovations that it introduces that Crack in Time really runs with, such as your, like, magnetic wrench.
Yeah.
There's various puzzles with that.
You would, like, throw it up and have to, like, well, not bleh, but, like, throw the wrench.
With your arm, not your...
not your bruh.
Yeah.
And, like, you would have to use it to, like, you know, rotate different, like, rotate different screws, like, screw in different screws so it would like do something, because that's one of the common, it's not really much of a puzzle, but it's still fun to do in Ratchet and Clank, like the whole series. I'm surprised we didn't talk about this before. You'll just see random screws sticking out of the ground where Ratchet goes up with his big wrench and just twists them, and that's a puzzle,
hooks them in and runs in a circle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, but it's satisfying. It just, it is like it, they don't do it a lot. It's not like they're like, this is our, you know, like, hook, this is how we get the kids these days with all the screwing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was always interesting, because you really, in order to do it, you just kind of hit the button, so you're holding on to it, and then you just bring your joystick around in circles.
That's and it.
Doesn't matter how fast you do it.
He always goes at the same speed.
But still, whenever you do it, you try to do it real fast, thinking that it's going to happen quicker. Yeah.
It never works, but it's... it's surprisingly satisfying for such a stupid mechanic, but hey, it's part of the game series. One thing, I'm surprised we haven't really covered it either. I'm going to say that 1,000 times.
Clearly we should have written out notes for ourselves before this, but...
Improv everything.
Yeah.
I love their aesthetic, like the art aesthetic of everything. Like, they have... you know a Ratchet and Clank game not just by like the dialogue and the humor in it, but also by the world that they create. Like, you, it feels like a, it's almost like a bizarre modern steampunk, you know?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, everything's kind of got gears and a little bit more technology, but at the same time it's very colorful and bright. Steampunk's usually very dark, like it's got lots of, you usually see lots of browns and like stuff, but this is all like brightly colored, lots of blues and greens. And
yeah, it's oranges. somewhere between steam and cyberpunk.
Yeah, I love it. I love their art style in all the games. Like, everything always, it always feels like a Ratchet. Like, I love the feel of it because it just makes you happy to play it. It makes you want to be in that world.
Now, granted, I think for us, a lot of that might just be the nostalgia.
Nope, it's true.
Okay.
Don't care.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I boot up a new Ratchet and Clank game, I'm immediately smiling, because it's bringing just back all those old memories of the original games.
Well, like, the thing is, if it was just straight nostalgia, we wouldn't like Into the Nexus. But Into the Nexus, it was a pretty... actually, there were some dark moments in Into the Nexus, which we'll cover, which... spoilers, big spoilers for when we get to that. I'm not gonna, like... people die.
Stop listening now if you don't want the spoilers.
Yeah, for everything. Listening.
It's fine.
I don't know how many times we can, like, no matter how many times you say spoilers, everyone's going to be like, "You suck. Why did you tell me this? We're never going to do this." Like,
all,
were you really
all 12 people that are going to listen to it?
Yeah, were you really going to play the game tomorrow? Really, really? But I mean, I know we're not saying much about the future series, but like, it was the one we played the longest ago. We really should have brushed up on it, I guess, but. There's a lot of games we had to cover. I'm trying to get most of this in like an hour and a half or so. So this is going to be a nice long episode, but that's good. So one of my other things I really liked about Crack in Time, though, the final game, we're going to, like I said, we're kind of talking about the future trilogy altogether. You know, Tools of Destruction, Quest for Booty, and Crack in Time. Crack in Time I really liked with all the Clank, like, clock puzzles. Like, it was a lot of time manipulation puzzles. Those were really fun, and I remember one of the ways I platinumed that, one of the few games I've platinumed on the PS3, you had to beat all the clock puzzles, and one of the just thinking about, like, the names of the games, on that video for, on your whatever, you know, Did You Know Gaming or whatever, one of the alternative titles for Crack in Time before they named it was going to be Clock Blockers. Which fits in so perfectly.
Very good.
I just thought about that now. What a great name. But all the time puzzles with Clank. So Ratchet was off doing other stuff with Quark at the time, and you're like trying to fix stuff with Clank and the Zony. It's kind of like the Martians from Toy Story.
Yeah. This was another one that was kind of like Deadlocked, where Ratchet and Clank are split up. So that was another really cool thing they added with this, where you can be Ratchet, and you have your, like, rocket boots and stuff, so you don't really feel like you're missing Clank, because you can still do everything. And then you have Clank doing his cool, like, time puzzles.
There was a lot of fun stuff in that. The storyline was really good in A Crack in Time.
Yeah, this is definitely... in my opinion, probably the best game of the series.
Really?
Yeah. As much as I love Going Commando for all the things that it did for the series, I think that Kraken Time really brought everything together, and that's, like, the pinnacle of the series.
I really hope, like, the remake's gonna be good. It looks good from the previews we've been seeing.
Oh my god, it looks so pretty. Good.
Looks really pretty. You're gonna have to get a PS4.
Hey man, Black Friday this November. We'll see.
I mean, anything really else on the future trilogy though? Because there's just, I like that it's a trilogy. I don't know why. I just like that it's called the future trilogy. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, being on at that point, next generation system, the graphics got a lot better.
They were really pretty.
I love what they did with it though, where they kind of kept it cartoony, but they got really detailed with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it had like wonderful hair textures and stuff, or I guess fur.
Fur. Whatever. Yeah. Tomato.
But yeah, it just really, the whole world felt alive, and I look forward to see what they can do in the PS4.
I guess though we'll move on to the two redheaded stepchilds of the series. It's the redheaded stepchildren, I mean. All for One and Full Frontal Assault.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually not beaten All for One, now that I think about it.
Yeah, we sat down a couple times.
We got far.
And played
in
through some pretty big chunks of it, and then just kind of dropped it and never went back to it.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's
very
different because the camera is completely different than the old ones. It's not like focusing on any one character. It's almost kind of like God of War style, where it just follows you. It's a station, it's fixated at the focal point of all the characters together, like whatever's the center of all four of them.
Right. So no matter,
it's four-player co-op, which is the first time in Ratchet & Clank.
Right. Yeah. So it's no matter how many players you have, the camera is going to be in the same place, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
As long as it can fit all the characters on screen.
I remember the first boss we reached was the one where like you had, it was like a bunch of tiles and he would send like waves of like, you know, electricity things that you have to jump over while also shooting. So I just remember how crazy it was that you couldn't really control the camera. It was one of the most hectic boss fights I've ever been in, but it was one of the most fun I've ever been in too.
Yeah. It's
I really want to get a group of four people together just to play this all the way, like one shot it.
Yeah, the most I've played it with was three. And we actually, it was me and then two of our friends who are not Ratchet & Clank fans at all. They played, like, very limited amounts.
Did they like it?
Yeah, they really... Well, I think they liked it. Maybe they were just humoring me, but but I was having a great time.
So they leave the house, they're like, fucking stupid.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I'll never bring that game over again, but
I'll have to... We really ought to, like, you know, sit down and try to play it again. But All for One was really cool, just because it was the first four... Like, it was a co-op game. Like, I know, like you said, Deadlocked, you could play two-player, but this is a four-player co-op game, which Ratchet & Clank has never really had, and I still think has not had since. Though, looking at the case now, I'm surprised it's 3D compatible.
Yeah, that is pretty
cool. I always think it was interesting that the PlayStation decided to go 3D gaming a little bit. Like, I've seen 3D gaming like at GameStop, but it's just, like, 3D TVs are so expensive.
Yeah, you know, they're not too bad anymore.
Sony did offer one for a little while where, like, if it was, like, $200 for, like, a 24-inch 1080p 3D TV.
Yes, the PlayStation TV, I believe they called it. When they originally released it, it was, like, $500, and nobody bought it.
Yep.
And then it very quickly dropped down to $200, and I almost bought one.
It had some marginal success, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
But, All for One was pretty cool. I mean, we can't talk much more about it because we never really beat it, but it was a fun game.
One thing that I really liked about it, as long as everyone is using the same weapon on the same target, it kind of, like, boosts up the ability.
Mm.
And if you remember the Morpho Ray, or, like, Paco Blitzer, or Sheepinator, or whatever for all the other games, I forget what the new one's called, but alone, you can transform, like, the little guys into just random little creatures.
Yeah.
As a group, you can actually transform the bosses into, like,
it just takes a long time, but it's still really cool.
Yeah.
That was a fun game. I mean, well, I don't know how many times I'm going to say that, But it is a really good game. It like I said, it's kind of like a redheaded stepchild because not a lot of people like it. If you give it a chance, that and they changed the art style up. Ratchet looks a little different in this one.
Yeah, they kind of went
even more cartoony.
More cartoony. They got rid of that detail that I really liked in Kraken Time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's okay. It's still a cool art style. I still love the characters. It's just like they were kind of going for a younger audience this time.
Definitely. One of the other nicknames from that video is they were going to call this one Foreplay.
Foreplay. See, that's good. That's not quite as like on the head as like yeah. Foursome, but
I don't think they ever called it Foursome. I think it was just Foreplay.
Okay. Well, that yeah, I like.
I still like Clock Blockers for
Clock Blockers for Kraken Time.
In
a different world, maybe.
The other redheaded stepchild one was Full Frontal Assault.
Mm-hmm.
That was really fun. We had a lot of fun with that game.
Yeah, that was their take on a tower defense.
It was a third-person tower defense game. Shoot 'em up, too.
Yeah, kind of like, what was the other one? Sanctum, I think, that tried that.
That was first-person shooter, too, wasn't
right,
it?
Right, yeah, that was first-person tower defense kind of stuff. But
I just remember we spent a lot of time in Full Frontal as well.
I was determined.
Dirtier than I
was. Yeah, right. I was determined to get that platinum.
You're still only one trophy away, right?
Yeah.
You still owe me one free victory on
an online match.
Yeah. But to get the platinum, there's a game called the Marathon Man or something like that.
Yeah.
Where you have to hover boot the equivalent of like 10 miles. Which is obscene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how you're supposed to get that.
Yeah, it's just like any time you're moving, you need to be hover booting because you're never gonna get it.
It's insane, and you have to like jump and hover like 2 miles or something like that, or not that far.
That might be the one that I'm missing. I think there's like three different modes of transportation you need to do a certain distance.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I have two of them complete, and it's the like hover glide one.
Yeah, for like a mile or something. It takes a long time. But so Full Frontal was cool because you could build your own towers and whatnot, or get your own defense turrets. And we kind of got it down to a science when we were playing co-op on it. Had a really good sense of humor. Like, I will never forget. So one of the best weapons in the game was the Groovitron. You could throw it up in the air, all the enemies would dance. We were just like, I wonder if we could get the... We were at the final boss, and we were like, I wonder if we can get the final boss to dance. And this came out in 2012, so it was like, we got released like 6 months after Gangnam Style went big.
The big K-pop explosion.
The big K-pop explosion. And so we threw a Groovitron on the boss, and he was doing the Gangnam Style dance. We're like, are you shitting me? What? How did... They did that in like barely any time before the game got released. Like, that's not a big change, where they threw that animation in like, 5 months before the game came out. That's amazing. It was probably easy for them to do, I guess, but they still decided to take the time and do it like right before release. Yeah. So I thought that was really cool.
That was the Groovitron in general is just a wonderful attention to detail because every different enemy has a different dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always cool where you're like, wait, have we used the Groovitron on this guy before? Because we need to see what his dance is.
Well, it was also an achievement to use a Groovitron on every single enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would distract them so you could kill them. And like, are we just friendly people?
Yeah.
Here, dance. Now die! All the weapons were pretty cool. I mean, they start out generic, but the Groovitron is always a favorite. You get the Agents of Doom again, I think.
Mr. Zircon.
Mr. Zircon's my favorite. Mr. Zircon, no knee bolts. His only currency is pain. I loved all his one-liners. He was literally just the Arnold Schwarzenegger of Ratchet and Clank.
Mm-hmm.
But then it had a good sense of humor in general. Like, the villain, do you remember when he hacks into the ship and he's like, I decided to play this song on loop for you, and it's a troll song.
There were so many moments in this game where it was like, this is pretty cool. It's not the normal Ratchet and Clank, but it's pretty cool. And then you'd reach one of those points where it was just like, huge smile on my face, enjoying every second of this, like, their pop culture references.
It was great. There was a ton in that game, too. There was a lot of pop culture references in Full Frontal. And it was just a really fun game all around. Just, I remember even playing by myself trying to, like, I just enjoyed hover booting around. I would set up the defenses on the easiest level so I wouldn't have to worry about the enemies. And I just hover boot trying to get the achievement. Still haven't gotten it, but I have it. I have, that's the easiest way to do it, I think. You just go around in circles over and over and over and over again. But it had a great sense of humor. The gameplay was a ton of fun. The turrets were okay. Yeah. The bosses got pretty difficult. Like, when you had the boss and the actual tower defense thing, that got pretty difficult. Because they would make you split your attention up a lot, and you had to be really careful.
Yeah. Some of the tower defense stuff would get a little annoying, because it's like, even if you put all your money into one lane, it would still sometimes need your attention, and it was just... kind of juggling that would get a little annoying, especially when you run around and find the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I think it's a lot more fun with two players.
Oh, yeah. It's a ton more fun with two players. I don't have much else to say on Full Frontal. Do you have anything?
Just that I enjoyed it enough that if they wanted to sneak that in as, like, a mini game or something in one of the later releases, I would be okay with that.
I agree. Just
putting it out there, Insomniac. If you wanted to do that, that'd be cool.
If you listen to this this podcast that maybe 10 people listen to, take it to heart and put a little mini. That would be a cool mini game. Like, maybe that could be like the arena mode. Instead of having the normal arena, they could do that as the arena.
Okay.
That would be kind of cool, right? Or maybe one of the arenas.
You know, I still like the arenas, but I'd be down for everything. All inclusive game with every mini game.
They could probably fit it on there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Into the Nexus, the last game of the series. I mean, there is one else that we have not really talked about. It was the other mobile game they have. There's two mobile games that Ratchet & Clank has. There's one Ratchet & Clank going mobile, which, like I said, I can't find a copy of anywhere because it's for really old phones. The other one, what was it called? It was Before the Nexus, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like an endless runner game. So, you know, Temple Run, that kind of thing. But with it's definitely very Ratchet & Clank from what I saw you playing on.
Yeah, I downloaded it on my phone literally 10 minutes before we started this podcast or whatever we're calling this.
Yeah, podcast. Whatever. It's a podcast.
And yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's definitely got the good 3D aesthetic. Controls are a little clunky, but that might just be my phone.
Yeah, it could just be the hardware specs on your phone
too. Yeah, definitely better on a bigger screen, but it's free.
It's fine. So it's free, so give it a shot. I mean, we don't have much else to say about it. It's a endless runner. What else do you have to really go on?
Yeah, it was really just a promotion for Into the Nexus itself,
which I didn't hear about because I was like, let's see what Wikipedia has to say about Ratchet & Clank, and it mentioned it. I'm like, what the hell is this? I've never seen this before. So Into the Nexus, the most recent game in the series, and by all means, I think it's a pretty good one. It's definitely not the best, but it was that's what they should have released on Ratchet & Clank's 10th anniversary instead of Full Frontal. While I did enjoy Full Frontal, they didn't really release a brand new classic Ratchet and Clank adventure.
That's a really tall Clank.
And he just kind of, like, his arms flop everywhere, and he's really loud. I liked Into the Nexus a lot. It had a pretty cool backstory to the villains. The animation was gorgeous on it. Like, everything, like, the frame rate was really crisp, so everything looked really nice.
Mm-hmm.
The puzzle solving was a lot. They focused more on puzzle solving in that one. Did you notice that?
I
enjoyed it because there was like, what was it? Was it the gravity gun, or I forget what it was? But like, you could shoot basically, like, it's almost like the puzzles would be a series of mirrors, and what you would shoot, it would get a portal of gravity, almost like Portal itself.
Yeah, and in Portal 2, they have, I forget, they're like gravity reinforcement beams or something.
Well, didn't they have it in Portal 1 too, with like the little blue beams going across the screen? They had it in Portal 1.
Did they?
I thought so.
Maybe they did.
Portal 2, they added in the goo things that you just... Oh.
Right, yeah, I guess you're right. It's been a while since I first...
It's kind of like that, where you would have like a gravity... I think they had that in there. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they definitely did. So they had stuff like that. They had what other like puzzle things did they choose? I mean, I just remember it was a lot more puzzle intensive, but the storyline was pretty unique. There was just basically like two villains. Like, the one villain, I forget her name already, but you're, I shouldn't say the story's unique. It was just, it was short, it was a short and sweet game, and they only charge us, like, what, $20 for the game, too?
Yeah, I think it was 30.
Was it?
Like, $29.99.
It was cheap.
Yeah.
And like, I definitely felt like I got my money's worth. I don't know why Sony doesn't do that more. Back in the PlayStation games, instead of games being $60 a piece, it was $50 for a brand new game. And games they weren't quite sure, Pa Rappa the Rapper or whatever, that was like a $40 game. It was like experimental games. They would be like, well, this didn't cost us too much to make, so here's a $40 game. I honestly think they should do that more often. They'll sell so many. Like, yeah, it's not going to sell a lot of units, but they're going to make money on it. So what's the problem,
you know? Yeah, I think that's happening more. If you get games like Killing Floor 2, I think is $40.
See, and they really should do that more often because these big budget games like are ruining companies. Like BioShock Infinite was a huge success; like it sold tons of copies, but it's still bankrupt Irrational Games.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because it was just they sunk so much money into it to recoup the cost. They had to sell an obscene amount of units, like unrealistically high.
Mm.
And it's the same. That's why do you think Call of Duty doesn't iterate? Because it's expensive to iterate.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very expensive to create it. And, like, I guess we complain about all the complacency. I know I'm going off on a small tangent here. We complain about the complacency of, like, AAA games. But if you think about it, like, it's just so expensive to make games now because of the demands of the consumer.
Mm.
Like, we expect, like, good voice acting. We expect, like, high, like, solid frame rates and good animation and all this other stuff. So I think studios are going to have to really... This has nothing to do with Ratchet & Clank.
Hey, that's okay, man. I'll jump in on this, too.
I think studios really need to find a way to, like, iterate on... Well, like, create something new, but not spend... Like, make smaller games, which they already are doing anyway, and just figure out... They got to figure out how to spend less money, but make good games still. That's why I think, like, what Ratchet & Clank was... Like, what Insomniac was doing is smart. Because, like, their last big-budget game, Fuse, flopped. Hardcore.
Yeah.
But all their small games are still, like, they have recognition on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, right now you've got your AAA titles, where they charge $60. And then you have your indie titles, which are, like, $20 and below. And you have this weird area in the middle that is either a game like Into the Nexus, where it's very good, but it's a little bit shorter. Or you have ones that are, like, the company's not too sure that it's that good, and they'll only charge $40 for it. I think that's how the Deadpool game was. Didn't get great reviews, but they're like, it's $40, so it's okay. So I think that's the caveat, where if someone sees a game that they would think is usually $60 in, like, the market as it is now, as, like, $40 or $50, they might get a little hesitant and be like, oh, why aren't they charging me that extra $10 or $20? Or maybe
they'll
be
a little bit more lenient with reviewing. It was like, well, it was only $40 or $50. I don't mind paying that for this.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was talking with some friends for ideas on podcast topics, one of them was talking about what about, like, will the indie game market, the rise of the indie game market, bring the crash of a AAA market? Is that a possibility? Like, could that happen?
That's an interesting conversation, although...
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a place for
AAA.
Indie games and AAA games.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad indie games are on the rise. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't... To be honest, I'm not a huge fan of indie games. Like, obviously, I respect the people. That's a lot of work to make a video game. I went to school for game design, and I'm too lazy to do it. So I understand how much work really goes into a game. But, it's just a lot of the times indie games are just not my cup of tea. The few that I've enjoyed are like Terraria,
mm-hmm.
Minecraft. I have not beaten it, but Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight's awesome.
I've heard very good things.
I love Shovel Knight. Stuff like that. And like, those games are great. But like, a lot of indie games, they're very niche. It's very hard. Like, you have a very small audience for them.
But I mean, they can afford that if they're.
Exactly, because it's not a big budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's why games from AAAs are play-tested to hell, because they need to recoup their expenses, so they have to appeal to the biggest audience possible. Though, like, some, like, that's why I still respect Naughty Dog as a AAA developer, because, like, while Uncharted is becoming a bit formulaic, I love it, like, but it's definitely kind of becoming their Call of Duty, which this is going to be their last one, so it's not like they're going to milk it for all it's worth. I mean, some people are like, they're milking it now, stop making them, but I would buy another Uncharted. I don't care. I love those games.
Yeah, man, I don't care, like, man. I'll go up to Uncharted 7 if they made it, but I, like, respect them for...
But, like, Last of Us, that was a huge risk, because they... Remember, as you hear the stories, they were playtesting it, and audiences, like, the playtesters, or, like, the focus groups or whatever, hated the ending.
Mm-hmm.
But then was it Neil Druckmann, right? I think he was the writer. I can't remember that. I think it was Neil Druckmann. He was like, nope, we're sticking with the ending anyway, and that's the ending that's in the game. And everyone loves it. The critics adore that ending. And for good reason. It's a damn good ending, which... We won't spoil that in this episode.
We'll spoil that on the next episode.
Exactly. Wow, we went off topic. But that was a good count. So, yes, they need to stick it more like Ratchet and Clank. Because, like, I mean, they should make more games along... Like, obviously not in the same style, because that, like, you want to have variety. But, like, with that same type of mindset. Like, we're only going to charge 40 for this. Let's make a shorter, like, 8 to 10 hour game. That's all people really have time for anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, for even the hardcore gamers, like, I have a full-time job. I'm doing, like, and now that I'm a supervisor and whatnot, I have to do overtime. So I don't have time to play 40-hour games, like, on RPGs. I don't have time to... It's hard for me to even get buckled down into a 20-hour game, let alone, like... I mean, just anything else longer than that, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm starting to play Final Fantasy III on the Super Nintendo. That's taking me a long time, because they're long games.
Yeah, I had my brief moment after graduating college where I thought, I'll take a couple weeks to just do me stuff, and dumped, like, 2 weeks straight into The Witcher 3. And I have no regrets. But I can't see myself doing that a lot in the future when, you know, you have a full-time job and it's like there's just not time for that.
So, like, these $40 games would be perfect. Like, Into the Nexus was, what, like 8, 10 hours or so?
Yeah, maybe 8.
That's, like, a perfect amount for, like, a $40 game. Like, you don't feel like you're getting... Like, that's why I don't like Call of Duty, because I don't like the multiplayer. And the single player is only 5 hours long. I'm not paying $60 for a 5-hour campaign.
Yeah, that's... It especially stings, because I enjoy the Call of Duty single player.
Yeah.
But it's just not worth it to me.
Exactly.
So you figure you let them go for a couple of years, and maybe they drop the price, but still...
They're, like, charging $60 for something they rehashed.
Yeah, like Black Ops, the original Black Ops. It came out, what, like 4 years ago? Something like that? Still $40. And I can't come to terms with spending $40 for, like, a 5-hour single-player campaign.
I bought it for $20 pre-owned.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-owned. You can get, like, Modern Warfare 3 crazy cheap, though. Now, like, on, like, a PS3, because that was, like, the least... Back when I worked at GameStop, we had so many copies of that for every console.
Mm-hmm.
Minus Wii.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Alright, so to wrap things up, let's just... talk about thoughts on the movie. I mean, there's not too much I know about. Oh, was there something you want to talk about Into the Nexus?
I have one more thought with Into the Nexus regarding the price and length of the game. It's kind of bittersweet, because it definitely works. The amount of time that I sunk into playing it, totally cool with the, like, $30 price tag. But it's a little bittersweet, because I kind of wanted to pay another $30
for more,
because it's so well done. But it's just kind of...
It's short.
Yeah,
The ending feels very, like, it just kind of happens. You don't notice it, but all of a sudden, it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely better than Quest for Booty. I think that one was, like, $15.
No, yeah, it was really cheap. It was meant to be a little DLC type of thing, style.
Yeah, but, that's all. I love it. I just wish there was more of it.
I agree. To wrap things up, the movie, any thoughts on what we've seen and the movie and the upcoming reboot? We'll kind of combine the two.
Right. So I haven't really seen a whole lot of the movie except for
the trailer.
Right. The original trailer.
Which is, like, okay. Like, I, I don't always judge movies. Like, Frozen had a horrible trailer, and I actually ended up liking Frozen, despite, you know, the internet sensation of Let It Go.
Sure.
Ruining everything.
But, like, based on how the game looks...
Looks gorgeous.
It already looks the like...
The gameplay looks fun.
Legitimate Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, level of detail. But still, it's the original game. But... Reimagined. With these amazing graphics, and it's like... It's this enough of the same that the nostalgia thing goes off in my head.
It's bubbling up.
But it's still new enough that I'll, without a doubt, spend like
$60. It looks like it might be a new, like a brand new Ratchet and Clank game, even though it's a reboot of the old one. It's,
yeah, I mean, I'm telling all my friends that have PS4s, if you haven't played the original Ratchet and Clanks, next year's going to be a great time to start.
It's true. And the movie that's tying along in with it looks good, too. Though I am interested, like, because they have all the voice actors. James Arnold Taylor, Jim Ward as Quark. I forget who else they have on there, but all the original voice actors are there. And then on top of that, the writer of all the games, he's doing the screenplay. So, and they're using the same models from the game for the movie. So it's looking like they're really like Insomniac's going all into this. Mm-hmm. Like they're really trying. They're and I can only imagine. Oh, computer started up.
Sorry. That's not a thing.
Doesn't exist.
Fix it in post.
But like they're going all into it with all the different voice actors. I mean, all the voice actors, the writers, like everything. Like they're just going. They're going for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. I think they're really trying to harness that, like, kid market now, because I think Ratchet & Clank's been out long enough, and it's taken on some serious tones, that you have the people like us that started playing them when we were, like, 12, 13, mm-hmm. and the games have kind of matured a little bit with us, and I think they want to take a step back, reboot it, have the tweens, I guess, of now, you start getting into it, and... That's great, because if more people are buying it, that means more games, with and that can only be good, but...
I think it's one of, like... I mean, I know it's not the longest-running franchise in game history, but it's gotta be one of the longest-running successful ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just gotta be, because why else would they be making a movie out of it now? Like, Into the Nexus had to have sold well, otherwise I don't think they would have gone on with the movie. Because
mm-hmm.
if it didn't sell well, then there wouldn't have been any, like, drive, because... The thing is, to take this risk, they have to know their hardcore fans are going to be in it. If Into the Nexus died, they would know their hardcore fan base is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it died then, because otherwise, I mean, I could be wrong in this thinking, but it's got to be. It's got to be one of the best selling franchises. I mean, Zelda definitely is probably the top selling, if that like longest running top selling, because I can't think of anything else like. I mean, Halo maybe, but Halo doesn't have as many games.
I think Final Fantasy, but I mean that...
There's a lot. I keep forgetting about those.
When you
there's
get
a lot
like
of franchises.
13, 13, 2, 13, 3, it's
then there's
like...
10 and 10, 2, then Final Fantasy Tactics,
right.
And then
so
all it's... the different Final Fantasies that are on. There's even Final Fantasies on the... Have you ever heard of the Wonderswan?
I have not.
The Wonderswan was a hand... It was like a Game Boy, but you know it's a handheld console that was only released in Japan by Hasbro. I think it's Hasbro. Yeah, it was goofy name. It was actually developed by the same guy who developed the Game Boy, Gunpei Yokoi. If I probably butchered his name, I'm horrible at it. But he helped design it, and when Square had all like, you know, switch over to Sony for the PlayStation, they're like, screw you, Nintendo, and went over to the WonderSwan for their handheld market. And when the WonderSwan tanked, which okay, it didn't tank, it did decent in Japan, but it never got released in America, and so after that kind of like not really tanked but died, they're like, hey Nintendo, you know, we kind of miss you. And so that's why you have, like, you know, the Dawn of Souls type of thing on the Game Boy Advance. You have the Final Fantasy reboots on the Game Boy Advance DS and the remakes and everything like that. Anyway, so Ratchet and Clank. I went off on another tangent.
Yeah, I had heard from... it might have been one of the IGN topics or one of like the Game Over Greggy kind of stuff, but they were saying that Sony may be angling for new parents, where it's like, I mean, we don't have kids, but we're of the age where it's like, it's possible that we would have kids.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely people that grew up on the original Ratchet & Clank games that could then be reintroducing their children to this franchise they love. And I don't know. That's kind of cool. I like that cycle.
I do too.
I do worry a little bit that it's going to be like extra cartoony and even more like young humor.
If they keep with like going commando style humor and even like using modern references like or like pop culture references like in Full Frontal Assault, where they took like current stuff from the internet and everything. Mm. You know, they had the Trollolol song and Gangnam Style and whatnot. Like, that's totally fine. I just gotta, like... Like you said, I just hope they don't overdo it. They could definitely make it work. Insomniac's really good with... Like, they treat Ratchet & Clank very well, even with their offshoot ones. I mean, their other games... You know, oh, the Resistance they did, too. They mm-hmm. don't do Resistance anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this works, because Insomniac has been... or had been, a Sony studio for mm-hmm. ages, since PS1 with Spyro.
They did Sunset Overdrive, too, didn't they?
Right, yeah, so
I
then...
I really wanted to play that.
They were with Sony all the way up until the PS... like, end of the PS3 generation.
Uh-huh.
They made Fuse, which is multi-platform, and that didn't do great. And then they signed on with Microsoft to do an exclusive Sunset Overdrive. Which I'm pretty sure got, like, nice reviews.
It got very... People I've like noticed, and honestly, I think Fuse only died because of EA's hand.
That's entirely fair.
Because, you know, we saw when it was called Overwatch, it had a lot more character mm-hmm. in its trailer, but EA, you know, sucks the life out of everything.
It's they don't want to take risks. They just want their profits.
Yeah, so. And... I mean, like I said, at the same time, can you blame them when AAA games are so expensive to mm-hmm. make? But, like, Fuse just had no character to it. It was so serious when we played it. It was kind of...
Yeah, I'd actually love to pick that up in, like, a bargain bin or something and run through that with you if you're interested.
Oh, I'd be down. I'd be down. Alright, so I guess before we close in our final thoughts, the last thing I do want to talk about is... that why the hell is Sylvester Stallone a voice actor in the Ratchet & Clank movie?
Is he?
He is.
Do we know what character he's playing?
No. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess we could do some digging on the internet. I just looked online. I heard it before I even read it on Wikipedia. I forget. It's on, but like Paul Giamatti is going to be a voice in it. So is Rosario Dawson. I really want to know what Sylvester Stallone's going to play, because I can't picture him doing anything video game related. Unless... other than like his weird 90s movie, not weird, but his 90s movies being turned into Super Nintendo games.
Uh-huh.
Like, I found Cliffhanger on Super Nintendo I didn't buy it, but sure, it's there. Sure. I've tried Demolition Man on Super Nintendo. That's hard as hell.
Hey, man, that was a good movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
But any final thoughts on the upcoming game and the upcoming movie?
I'm excited.
Computer!
Fix it in post!
Yes, I'm excited as well.
Yeah, I mean, they could be bad, but I seriously doubt that. I think Sony and Insomniac both have a lot on the line here, and they want to make it count.
I agree. All right, guys, that pretty much wraps it up. We've been talking for a good long while about Ratchet & Clank and how much we love it. So if you haven't played these games, definitely check it out. So until next time, guys, see you later.
See you.